fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. First, I want to apologize. On Monday, I said on Tuesday I would be looking at John's chapter 8, but I touched on a different topic yesterday. And the whole week, what I've been looking at, really been feeling in my heart, has been praying for the program, just observing life of so many Catholics kind of struggling to live their faith in these days, how important it is for us to just make the decision of heart, mind, will, strength to come to terms with the fact that we need to live, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to be willing to live a different way of life than the broader culture, to be countercultural. A culture is what? A culture is a way of life of a people. A culture expresses the habits of what people value and where the culture gets its identity, what it prizes, what it honors. And our culture has really changed over the last 40 years, about from a culture that really, in a very broad way, in a kind of broad consensus, had God at the center of the life. But now we live in such a powerfully fast-paced culture that's rooted in a consumerism, ultimately, a materialist, consumerist worldview. All of us are deeply affected by it. And without realizing it, we easily become conformed to the world and the patterns of the world around us, which is what Jesus spoke about so clearly in the apostles. He said some very radical things about the world. And he talked about and he challenged the people of his time, and even the religious leaders of his time, to get radical. And he said things about himself, he said things about how we're called to live that were difficult to swallow. And I just want to read one of the most passionate and intense sections of the New Testament is chapter 8 of John's Gospel, where the growing conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, is getting intense. It's getting white hot with intensity. In the beginning of the chapter is the story of the woman caught in adultery, and the Pharisees grabbed this woman. You know, the law, letter of the law said that she should be stoned. And so they're trying to trap Jesus constantly. And there's that amazing passage where they bring the adulterous woman before him. Essentially, they're testing him. Are you going to obey the law or not? The law says she should be stoned. What should we do? And they're trying to get him to stumble because they want to humiliate him. They want to discredit him. They want him out of the picture because they're feeling challenged by him, especially by the fact that so many people are following him. And they're befuddled by him because he speaks with such authority, and they're confused about where that authority comes from, but he's also a great threat to them, the threat to the establishment, to their authority. And so we know that scene where the woman is there standing, shamed. The Jewish men are holding stones ready to stone her, and they said, okay, what is it? Master, you tell us. And Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Incredible moment. Of course, he's convicting them. He shifted. They're focused on her unrighteousness and completely unaware of their own. And one of the things that Jesus taught so clearly and why he doesn't like self-righteousness is because no one is good except God. Every human heart is shot through with sin. We're a mixed bag. There's good in us. We have potential for great good, but we have potential for great evil. Jesus said in the Gospels, look into the human heart. What's in the heart? What makes us unclean? It's what's within me. I'm a fallen creature. He said, look at your heart. Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, lust. It's present in there. This is the fallen condition of the human race. And the Pharisees were not aware of it. They didn't pay attention to their own unrighteousness. It drove Jesus crazy. And so that's why he confronted them. And of course, there she stands. And Jesus looked up and said to her, woman, where are they? That is, where are those who are going to stone her? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. go and sin no more. Now, this is important. I just want a little bit of an aside here. Some people try to take this passage and say Jesus is never condemning in the sense of, for example, Jesus wasn't bothered by the fact that she was an adulterer or that she was a prostitute. He was bothered by it. But he saw the sin in her life. He said, he won't condemn her. He said, but go and sin no more. Jesus is at war with sin all the time. He came to destroy the power of sin. It really matters. He was more conscious of exposing the sin that was in the heart of the religious leaders. Now you see the relationship between Jesus and the religious leaders really begins to heat up. In verse 12, Jesus makes this amazing statement. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, the Pharisees thought they had the light, and what they were supposed to do with her is to stone her. What is the light? The psalm says, you know, God sheds his light. His word is like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Jesus is interpreting what is at the heart of God's revelation, of the Torah, of the Old Testament. What's it pointing to? There was light revealed. There's no question about it. To Abraham, God spoke. Through the prophets, God spoke. But all of it's moving toward a full revelation of the understanding of everything. Where we come from, why we're here, where we're going. Who is God? What is God like? What is God's plan for us? What's our relationship to God? It's all revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus makes this declaration, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light that shines on every path for every human being. I've been sent by the Father to show everyone the way home. There is a way. There's not just any way. People can't choose their own way. He's the way. He'll say that later. He'll say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But here he's saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Follow me. These are two really important words. Words that throughout Christian history have captured the hearts of certain people, like Francis of Assisi, like Ignatius, like Teresa of Avila, where they heard the word, like the apostles heard it when they encountered Jesus, and he said, follow me, and they dropped their nets. The saints dropped their nets, and each one of us is called to drop our nets. What is it that you're holding on to that you put ahead of God, ahead of your relationship with Christ? What do you value more than your relationship with Christ? Does the Lord really get the first fruits of your heart, of your life, of your time, your treasure, your talent? I mean, is that really where you're headed? So he's saying, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. His assumption is that people, every single person apart from Christ, is walking in darkness to some degree. Because he's the full light that has come into the world to reveal to the human race, again, who we are. What is this all about? And how can I live a fulfilled, meaningful life? What have I been made for? His assumption is that human beings, like the Pharisees here, were walking in darkness. And what they needed was the light of life. Jesus began to declare, I'm the light of life. I talked about this, I think, a few weeks back in preparation for Christmas. There's that opening prologue of John's Gospel, the first chapter. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. It said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus is saying here, you will have the light of life. It's the life of Jesus that shines in the darkness. It's the person of Jesus, first and foremost, that is the light that shines in the darkness. What is the darkness? The darkness is, again, those fundamental questions. Where have I come from? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's my destiny? Can I hope in anything? all these, the fundamental cry of the human heart, Jesus sheds light there. And what we see is the life that's in Jesus, first of all, he's living a different way of life, right? But not only is he living differently, in the person of Jesus, the life of heaven, God's life, the divine life, is united to human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. That is, humanity, human flesh, is already sharing in what belongs to God, to God's glory, to God's life, to God's renown. It's happening in the person of Jesus. Here's where salvation and hope comes from the whole world. For the world to have a future, for human beings to have a future, they must be united to the light of life, the life that is in Jesus, the life that we now see, and it's been revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the light of his resurrection burst forth, first of all, dispels the darkness in the tomb, and he comes forth resurrected from the dead, standing, existing beyond death. A new power, a new capacity, a new humanity being born in the person of Jesus. There is a life in him that's not in anyone else. This life that we see, this new creation that's in Jesus that conquered death, that ascended to the Father's at the right hand of God in glory, this human flesh being united to the glory and majesty and power and eternity and beauty of God in the person of Jesus Christ, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. There was a life in him, friends, that was stronger than death itself. The apostles saw it, they touched it, and it absolutely changed them. And they realized that they were made for more than this life. And this life, biological life, is short, it's brief, it's passing away. It's under a curse, ultimately, because of the power of sin and death at work in it. And the life that is in Jesus is not subject to that curse. It's not subject to just disintegration. Jesus Christ was sinless. Jesus Christ brought God's life. Jesus Christ came to rescue, and he gives us a whole new life, a power, a dynamism. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is given to us. And that life that we see through faith and we hope in with great confidence, we see in the person of Jesus Christ, that's our light. That's who I am. That's what I'm called to be. That's where I'm going. This is the purpose of my life, to follow that man and to receive from him, God's ultimate man, Jesus Christ, to receive from him what he alone possesses. And I have access to that life through repentance, through baptism, and believing in him. That's what Jesus means by he's the light, and he gives to us the light of life. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words.
St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.